Those on the phone would mind muting? That would be great. We're getting a little bit of background noise. So let's do introductions, and we'll start, I guess, here down here with Rod. If Rod, you'd like to introduce.
Oh, okay.
Just a sec. We're still. If you're on the phone, we're still getting some background noise. Can you mute, please? Hello, on the phone.
Dave Solom. That's Tuscumbe Basin Irrigation District.
We're getting a lot. There's someone that's. We're getting a lot of feedback. If you're on the phone and you don't have mute on, can you please turn your mute on?
I think you're not listening.
Can we there's someone still on the phone. Can you please turn your mute on? I mean, we may just have to disconnect everybody if we can't. I mean, it's going to be, won't be able to have a conversation. If you're on the phone, can you hit mute? Yeah. Can we mute them?
Do you know where I am?
Maybe we can. Maybe just ask everybody on the phone if they're muted.
And Jeff Johnson's on the phone. It's not me, but it is certainly annoying. I agree.
Who else is on the phone?
Jeff Mundine at BPA. We have a group of us in the room.
Are you muted?
I will now.
Thank you. Rod, can you look and sort of see who's on the phone? We'll see if we can narrow it down.
I'm on it. I'll sign off and log back in just to see if it's me. I'm de-seeing this back. Hello?
Hey, good afternoon. Mike Miranda, Bongo Power.
Good afternoon, Doug Gilmore, Bongo Power.
Good afternoon, it's Patrick Bing with GDS Associates.
This is Dan Yakota with Bongo Power.
We're still getting the background noise, but if we want to continue on with people on the phone introducing themselves, and we'll see if we can, and then we can go around the room. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that at all.
Rod, can you type a message that people can see asking them to mute? Is that possible?
Yeah.
I'm not a webinar expert. Yeah, computer. Yeah, if you're on the phone and haven't introduced yourself, can you please introduce yourself now?
William Rimmer, Southern Bongo Power.
Laura Miner with Invenergy, and Ann Nichols and Hannah Burt with Invenergy.
Dave Solom with Tuscumbe Basin Irrigation District.
Linda Layton with Bureau of Reclamation.
Is that him?
They got quiet.
Oh.
I think I got the guy.
All right.
Oh, okay. All right. So it sounds like the phone got a lot better. If you have not yet introduced yourself online, if you could do so now, we would appreciate that.
This is Kevin Moldina, BPA. We have a few others in the room that are going to introduce themselves.
Okay.
Chris Lockman, Nino Bischweitz, Nino.
And Mary Godin, legal. Sarah Peterson from Invenergy also just joined.
Okay. I have about 12 to 15 people from the phone introduce ourselves, so I think we'll go around the room now. This is Rod Nopon with Grant PUD.
Renata Rechtenwald, Grant PUD.
Rich Flanagan with Grant PUD.
Roger Sonicson, Quincy, Columbia Basin Irrigation District.
Lloyd Reed with Reed Consulting, attending on behalf of the Quincy, Columbia District and East District.
Casey Sprouse, Grant PUD.
Florence Webster, Bureau of Reclamation.
Amy Rodman, Bureau of Reclamation.
Odelia Linden, East Columbia Basin Irrigation District.
Darvin Fales, Quincy Irrigation District.
Andrew Monroe, Grant PUD.
Clark Campbell, Grant PUD.
Dave Churchman from Grant PUD, and welcome, Florence. We talked on the phone, and it's nice to meet you in person. So
nice
thanks
to meet
for
you too.
Thanks for being here. Everyone, thanks for being here. But very recently, so.
Right.
Emily Smith with the Grant County Economic Development Council.
Ryan Beba with Savvy Data Centers.
Mark Johnson with Vantage Data Centers.
Mike Hamilton, Roseland Electric, here supporting the Vantage Data Centers.
All right. We'll go ahead then and get to Dave Churchman, who will kind of give us an overview of the meeting and the purpose.
Take it away, Dave. So Rod is going to be our designated note taker today, and Rich has agreed to moderate the discussion, so asked me if I could sort of kick things off. So in terms of process, and one of the big things today is to walk through the process and timeline that we're going to have. Andrew's going to go next and sort of walk us through the steps and the dates we have established. In some ways, it's a fairly aggressive schedule. We'll do our best to get through it. And hopefully we'll be able to get you the information you need and get the input from you in a way that we can make good progress on that. As we go through the discussion today, really this meeting is to get input from everyone in the room and to get a perspective. We're going to throw a few topics out that we've heard in the past that we think might be of interest to folks. And so if you have, really want to hear your guys' perspective, we've thrown those topics together, but don't be limited by those topics. We'll work through those, and then if you have other thoughts on anything, we definitely want to hear what you have to say. Give us some information as we head into this cost study and rate design process. I'm going blind. Need some extenders to read the notes.
Want me to hold that for you, Dave?
Yeah. And a telescope. So as we go through, as we're talking about things, please feel free to, we want to make this fairly informal. Please feel free to ask questions as we go or to throw comments in. If we get off track, I'll try and keep us, sort of moving down the trail, but the idea is to keep it informal and interactive as we go today. And this is somewhat modeled after those of you who may have worked with Bonneville or other IOUs. It's probably a little closer to Bonneville's process, the concept we're following. They're very similar in that we'll try and get together in person, meetings like these. We'll be providing information to folks and then be looking for written input as well. So there'll be a variety of mediums. We'll do our best whenever we get together to get as many folks participating through webinars. If anyone wants to talk, come and have a one-on-one discussion, we'll definitely work to try and bring folks in and go through the details of things to the extent that it's a sort of a fast timeline and we have, a finite number of resources, but we'll do everything we can to try and make sure that folks that have questions get a chance to sit down with Clark or folks in Clark's group and work through that. Let's see. If we do have individual meetings,
PUD.org to pay your bill. Learn about energy savings programs. See if our high speed network is available to your home and receive Columbia River Recreation
webinars.
Updates.
Is it outside?
Why is it ours?
If we do meet one on one and there's something that comes up that we think will be beneficial to other folks in the group, then we'll.
Easy and give you more control over how
much
you can
do. That may Then if there's information that's helpful in those one-on-one discussions, and you know, we may post those off the website for the benefit of other customers to see the response on that too. In terms of how we're going to walk through for the rest of the day, like I said, Andrew's going to go through the timeline and our anticipated process. Rod's going to talk a little bit about background. We've got folks who are all different levels of knowledge and experience and expertise, so try and throw out some of the things that some folks may not, you know, have had a chance to experience before or participate in. And then Rich is going to walk through, you know, we just tried to come up with some things, like I said, that we thought would be of interest. He'll walk through those, try and, you know, Clark may, if there's questions, he can describe, you know, okay, what kind of issue would we be addressing here, and is here, hopefully give us a little technical insight. And then looking for feedback and input from folks on these different issues. But like I said, we're not limited to these, and once we make our way through this list, then we want to hear what else you have to say. And then I think Rich will go through next steps, and that'll be it for the day. So any questions before we get rolling? All right. Turn it over to you, Andrew.
Great. Good afternoon. Again, I'm Andrew Monroe, the Senior Manager of External Affairs Communications here at Grant Community. Some of you I know, and some of you I have not maybe met, so I invite you, even after this meeting, come say hi. I'll come say hi to you. Just want to hand out here what the timeline is. We have some kind of key milestones that we want to hit. And for those on the phone, I'm handing out sort of a process and timeline. This will be posted. We've got a dedicated site on our website that we will, is it up here? Okay, so you see in the agenda, the very bottom of the agenda, and Ryan Holkerhoff is going to be posting this handout here very soon, so you'll be able to see this as well. So I want to walk through this. So today we're having the kind of stakeholder meeting that's indicated here, and in 2 weeks, if you have comments on what we discuss here in this meeting or on cost allocation, if there are topics or things that you want to raise, we ask you to be able to provide that and then submit that. We have an email address here, the transmissionrates@gcpd.org. You can send those comments directly to that email. Myself and others here will pick those up and we'll post them on this website so that others can have the benefit of seeing those comments as well. And then by June 5th, the PUD intends to have our responses related to those comments, and we'll post those.
Does everyone have a video problem, or is it just me? No, I think you're in good company.
Are you not able to hear?
Yeah, I'm experiencing problems as well.
Okay. Let's grab that puck.
Is it problems in hearing? There's an awful lot of beepings going on also.
I think they're dropping off now.
Yeah, you need that closer. Thank you.
Can you find out what the problem was, Andrew?
Yeah, can you repeat that, what the concern is? Is it a problem of hearing? You're on mute. We're not hearing you. Okay.
Or we lost everybody.
Okay.
Maybe the commercial kicked everybody out.
I wonder if all that beeping is because people are losing it and they're trying to call back in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there a question from those on the phone? Okay, hearing none, we'll continue here. So I'm walking through our timeline. And so on June 19th is our target date at Grant PUD to post our draft rate proposal, transmission rate proposal. And then 3 weeks following that is the deadline for stakeholders to send written comments to the transmission rates email. And we will post those comments again like we've done before.
Hello.
Yep, hello.
Yes, I think you've got a lot of people in the audience on, but I think the presenter or Grant is having difficulty in your audience.
Okay.
Okay.
don't know if
who's controlling WebEx.
Oh.
Who's got control of WebEx?
Rod does.
I said something about that. I think they were saying that multiple people have the presenter control, I think is what I heard. I just wanted to make sure that it was done on his, that he had set up for, that he had control. Does it say he's the presenter? No, he's sharing. It says stop sharing. So he's,
well, he's sharing his screen.
Yeah.
I think we're okay. Yeah. Let me just continue here. I think we're just getting some chatter in the background. If there's a question from the phone, go ahead and ask it. Otherwise, we're getting some of your feedback. I'm not sure if you're directing it towards us or not. So July 24th is our target date then to post the final transmission rate proposal. And then on August 7th is a date that we're targeting to have our, you know, have maybe a final stakeholder meeting to discuss that rate proposal. And then our goal and kind of our timeline, our hard stop, is to submit this proposal for commission packet on August 28th. That's our internal sort of process deadline. And the commission then would take that up as a review item in their business meeting on September 10th. So that process with our commission on any item where they have one meeting for review, and then 2 weeks later at the next business meeting, they'll take action. That's the normal course of business. So we're targeting that for September 10th and then 24th. So this is sort of the aggressive timeline, although I don't know that there is a lot of mystery. I mean, we've been talking about this, I know, for a number, you know, year or a couple years. That's the outline of our timeline. But let me stop for a moment and see if there's any questions either here in the room or on the phone.
Could someone on the phone confirm that you're actually hearing what we're talking about?
Can you hear us on the phone?
Shane just said that he's on the call, but they can't hear the conference room.
No. His head around still.
Just call him and see.
I hear people connecting and disconnecting.
Yeah. Yeah. People on the phone, are you hearing us? Can somebody acknowledge? No. They're not hearing us.
He just asked David if he fell out. He asked if he was a 10-member.
Could they hear for... They must have been able to hear for...
Yes.
A while.
Or maybe not, Dave.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe that's why we couldn't get somebody to put the phone on mute.
Yeah. Kate,
can you guys hear us from the...
Well, we are waiting. I wanted to say thanks to everyone that traveled here and made the
their time commitment to be here today.
So we got electronic tech working on it.
We're working on it.
Welcome to WebEx. Enter your access code or meeting number followed by pound. Enter your attendee ID number followed by pound. If you do not know your attendee number, press pound to
So we're redialed back in. You may want to ask people to redial in, you think?
No, they should be fine.
Okay.
The meeting's up. This was just our connection.
Hello. Can you hear us now?
We're starting to hear you guys.
Okay, that's great. You can hear me? This is Andrew Monroe at Grant PUD. You can hear me now?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Shane says he can hear.
Okay, great. So we apologize. Sorry that it sounds like you weren't able to hear what the meeting so far. So I'll just do a quick recap. We did introductions. We heard about a dozen folks on the phone. I just walked through sort of the process and the timeline in terms of the transmission rate. It's going to be posted on, we have a dedicated website at Grant PUD. If you look at the bottom of the agenda, there's a link that'll take you there to this dedicated website. But just to kind of maybe walk through this timeline again, we are shooting for August 28th to have the final transmission rate proposal submitted for commission, for our commission's packet. This is our internal process deadline. So walking back from there, 2 weeks from this meeting today on May 15th, is the first deadline for stakeholders to send written comments on cost allocation to that transmission rates email. And myself will receive that and others, and we will post those comments on our website. And then by June 5th, Grant PUD will provide responses on those comments. And then a couple weeks after that, on June 19th, is our target date to have our draft transmission rate proposal posted. And then 3 weeks after that is the deadline for stakeholders to send written comments on that draft transmission rate proposal. We are targeting July 24th to post the final transmission rate proposal, and then we'll have a follow-up meeting on August 7th with stakeholders to discuss the final to discuss that transmission rate proposal. And then, like I mentioned, August 28th is our deadline to get this into the commission packet. What then happens is that the commissioners, the process for our commissioners is they take one business meeting at least to review an item that's scheduled for September 10th. And then 2 weeks later on the 24th of September, and these are Tuesdays, they would take action on that. So I'm going to stop there and see if there's any questions on the timeline.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify, June 19th, you say target date for the draft Grant PUD transmission rate proposal. I'm assuming that's a tangible deliverable that stakeholders can comment on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's, so question is, I'll just repeat it here, on the June 19th is the target date that Grant PUD will post that transmission rate proposal, and we'll post that on the website so everybody can see that. And then the deadline for comments is 3 weeks later on July 10th.
So considering the aggressive time frame, forgive me for not being smart enough, but is there like a kind of like an instruction manual for us to help us look through that transmission rate proposal then, or probably not?
So I think, you know, what we've done in the past is we've posted the cost of service study, which is, I haven't looked at it myself, but I understand it's, you know, it's a lot of data, the way that you've gone through it,
sure.
A lot of information. The best approach may be to set up a call or a time for you to come in and walk through some of that. Historically, I think that's been one of the things we've done. If there's a need, you know, we may be able to, if there's some specific questions people have, then we could, you know, set up a time with a group of folks that were curious and try and walk through some of that.
Yeah, I think it would make sense, given those of us who went through this process 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Given that, number one, it is going to be different this time around, right? I mean, we're going to have some different analytics. You got some different people working on it.
Yeah.
I would agree with Florence that I think it's reasonable to assume that stakeholders are going to want to have at least one, whether it be meeting or conference call, you know, know, sometime between June 19th and July 10th, just to be able to ask questions.
Really fast.
Yep, great.
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Different topic. When would the new rates go into effect? October 1st or first of the year? I would assume one or those. Or
so, yeah, my understanding is it's October 1st is when the that's when the rate
will
go into effect. I'm looking at
Ron. Right. Well, so for the one customer you'd be referring to, for reserve power, where the contract refers to those rates, though, assuming we sign the contract as stated, it would have rates in it, and those would be effective January 1. And then once the contract is in place, it's written such that you got to do it by October 1 for the next March or something like that. For other people, some contracts that we have right now have terms in them to convert to a regular rate, and others don't have text like that. So not all contracts we have necessarily convert to the rates. That's contract by contract. Now, we are looking at some people that have interconnection requests to Grant PUD, and these rates are what we intend to use for new generation plants interconnecting to Grant PUD. So these are not rates for any retail power in any way. They're not for retail. But these are only for people who wheel on the system. So they would be the first rates that would be used, because these will be in effect definitely prior to any of the plants that we're looking at right now that are planning on building a Grant PUD would be in place.
Good. Having just an augmentation to that, while these rates wouldn't be specifically for retail customers, the cost study and the allocation of costs and the cost study could have, a portion of those costs will be allocated to Grant. Be like, we're going to talk about that later. Just wanted to clarify that. But I think you're going to touch on that in your section, Ron.
Okay. Maybe some context too. We've mentioned this cost study. So Clark is leading. So on a retail level, and I think some of you in this room participated in a recent focus group where we're doing a cost study on our retail rate, which could lead to commission decisions on rates for the various retail rate classes. There is a bit of a overlap, if you will, because some of the costs obviously associated with the transmission rate could impact those rates and vice versa. So I'm mentioning that, I'm very much involved with Clark on that public engagement effort, because we really intend to sort of, talk with our customers, get their ideas and thoughts about, what, even just kind of basic understanding of, costs and cost allocations. But we really want to be, we're endeavoring to be real transparent for you, for everybody, in terms of, hey, identifying costs related to who's causing costs and how, what are some ideas that, our customers have about where the appropriate allocation should be. We have our analysis. But we've, part of this transmission rate, there are some deadlines here that are, this year more immediate, in terms of past agreements to get this done. So this transmission rate would be done, ahead of probably where that cost allocation study gets completed. But just want to make sure we're kind of aware that there's a parallel path and they do interrelate. That's all I have, Rich.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. So now we will, Rod has a little bit of a background, give everybody a little bit of a background. Take it away, Rod.
Okay. So we're developing transmission rates that we would like to develop in what we call a non-discriminatory fashion. For those of you that are familiar with jurisdictional aspects under FERC, Grant PUD is a non-jurisdictional entity. So we have more freedom to develop rates than someone who a jurisdictional is. However, we have to develop rates that are non-discriminatory across the board and show that we're treating customers equivalently, and one of those customers is Grant PUD. We have to show that Grant PUD, which is the largest customer of the Grant system, is being treated in the same way that others are being treated. And so as we do costs and develop rates, we need to show that. So that is a goal of ours, is to work in the non-discriminatory fashion to the greatest extent as if we were jurisdictional, knowing that we do not need to get FERC approval for these rates. These rates are for non-retail service. So right now, with just one exception, anyone who comes in with a load request at Grant PUD will not be under these rates. If you come in with a load, we do not have what you call retail wheeling at Grant. So you'll be a retail customer. Now, Dave explained that the way we calculate these rates could have an effect to retail because the amount of money that we collect through use of our transmission system is going to affect how much money we need to collect from the retail customers, because a large part of retail rates is for delivery. However, on the Grant system, since we don't have retail wheeling, with the exception of people that go substantially back in time with some legislation that qualify for something called reserved power, those customers can apply for load service under these transmission rates. But that's a federal thing and only applies to certain irrigation delivery loads. So you know if you're one of those customers. So if you're wondering, you're not one of those customers. So that's where, so this is for all non-retail, but in a large non-retail, we have some large generation plants that are in the process of looking at locating in Grant County. And in some cases, we are moving along with some of those plants in a process. We currently have an interconnection queue that would show only three customers in the queue for interconnection right now. However, we have a lot of people calling us on the phone asking about it. So, and most of the interest is for large solar plants. I mean large, anywhere from 5 to 200 megawatts is usually the size of the plants of people that are speaking to us. So if you're developing a large solar plant that way, these would be the rates that you would be on.
Let's see.
We have retained a consultant to help develop these rates. It's the same consultant that is being retained to develop the retail rates. The company name is GDS, that's correct to just say GDS Clark, yes. And we have, I believe, at least two representatives of GDS on the phone today, and maybe if you're at GDS, would you like to specifically introduce yourself again so people in the room can hear from you?
Yeah, this is Patrick Brin. I'm actually in the Orlando office, and yeah, we're in the process of assisting Grant County develop transmission service rate and also its ancillary service rate. So we're right now in the process of gathering all the data and starting to develop the models for those rates.
Okay. And then the final thing I have is something I already mentioned, that Grant PUD is also a customer for rate calculations. And the reason that's important is part of this process is you're going to develop something called an annual revenue requirement. So at some point you say, this is the amount of money we need to collect for the transmission system. Then you got to decide who's going to pay that money. We calculate the billing units. We look at Grant PUD load as a customer for billing units. In fact, they are by far the largest user. So we're going to treat them as if they have to pay their share when we calculate what this rate will be. So that's a very standard method of calculating rates. And so that's just in a nutshell the basics of the background. Are there any questions on the background?
Yeah, I've got a question.
Okay.
Rod. And this is in relation to, you know, some of the reserve power loads that are actually served not at transmission voltages but at distribution voltages, right?
Yes.
So when we are talking about, quote, transmission rates in this environment, are we only focusing on what, say, FERC would consider to be the transmission system, you know, typically 110 kV, you know, or, you know, the seven-factor test? I guess what I'm getting at is for some of the reserve power loads, there were distribution-related charges that were included along with transmission-related charges. Is where do those distribution-related charges fall? Do they fall in this process or maybe the retail development process?
That's a very good question. They fall in this process, okay. Though reserve power loads are currently the only loads that would be, well, the Grant PUD load is also going to be used for the billing units for distribution.
Right.
But, and But the other rates, for instance, a generation facility, a large solar, we would not deal with them at a distribution level.
Right.
So they would only be at transmission level. But yes, we do have at least one other customer that takes power at distribution level. And those rates will apply to them also, and they know in their contract, it states that right now, that when we develop these rates, that they'll apply to them also. So if you're that customer, you know who you are, and they're actually not present in the meeting right now. But yes, it'll be distribution, and in that case also, we'll be developing the rates for even lower than distribution voltage in this process, but it only applies. So we have about 200 loads that are served sub-distribution level voltage, and that will also be a part of this process. But probably the only people in the room that are affected by the sub-distribution is the reserve power delivery. Okay. But again, that's where the grant retail load comes in. Because the grant retail load is, if you look at sub-distribution, it's probably more than 99% of the sub-distribution load. There, right now, the grant retail load is about 95% of the transmission system use, but it's a much higher percentage when you go to that okay. level. Good question, thank you.
Are there any other questions for Rod on background or anything else? All right. As Dave mentioned, we part of the transmission cost allocation process, we will be looking at the following topics, and those are that you can see those under the transmission cost allocation topics. So things like the 1CP versus the 12CP, urban versus rural, coincidental versus non-coincidental peaks, basic format of the rate, small voltage loads. Rod was talking about overheads, also ancillary, including losses, and then other cost allocation topics. So these are the things that we identified that we will be looking at as part of GDS's look at our rates, and that Clark is looking at. What we would like is to kind of open up discussions on if anybody has any strong feelings on these. There are a couple different ways we can do that. You can chime in on that. We can do it right now during this meeting, or as Andrew said, you can see that we have some time after this meeting up through May 15th, that if you have some written comments that you would like to maybe organize, you can put those and get those onto our website, to that email address, and we'll post them onto the website. So,
okay. I'd like to add one thing to that. I would like to add that in all cases, please submit your comments in writing. So while we're taking notes in this meeting, those notes are not what we're going to consider the official comments. Those are notes of the discussion at this meeting. So even if you give some comments in this meeting, we will ask that you submit those in writing so that, well, those are what we'll post. We won't post my interpretation of what you said in these notes. What we're going to post and use officially is your written comments.
Yes. Okay. That being said, if you do have some comments right now, or if you have some questions on any of these topics, we'd like to hear them now. Clark is here. Clark is head of our rates and pricing. He would be probably the best person. Much better than me.
I have a question. What does CP mean?
So you say, I wonder if we just walk through these.
Okay, yeah.
So people probably, you know, like, yeah, CP, there will be folks here that this will be unfamiliar, so maybe just do a brief overview of each one and what the issue is, or Clark can do that if that works.
You want to handle that, Clark, or do you want?
Sure, I'll cover that.
Can I ask before we do that?
Yep.
At some point, either today or between now and May 15th, does the PUD intend to essentially make any kind of statements on these seven or eight bullet points about what your general kind of positions or thoughts are? You know, it seems like you're asking for input from stakeholders, which is great, but it always helps, you know, if there's a proposal on the table that people can comment on, particularly for folks who maybe don't have the background in some of these areas. Is that something that's being considered?
Yeah, so thank you. Just further clarification on that timeline, we're holding ourselves to June 5th to post responses to all those comments. So I appreciate Rod's kind of clarifying, like, we don't want to make an interpretation of, you know, we want to encourage comment here, but we'd like you to write down your comments so that it's in your words. And then we're going to post responses to all those comments and topics that are brought up, and we tend to post those by June 5th.
Okay.
I think Lloyd's question might have been a little different.
Yeah, my question was more, it appears that you're asking, stakeholders to state our, I don't want to say positions, but thoughts, right, on these 7 or 8 bullet points prior to the PUD really saying what are your thoughts or what are your kind of opening, I'm going to say positions, maybe that's too strong. That if it is as part of today's meeting, does the PUD intend to maybe walk through and just say, here's what you're thinking, what do you got, what do you stakeholders think of that? Do you have any immediate feedback on that or something?
Give my take.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think what we had talked about was hearing the perspectives of folks, and that, that could inform our thinking on what we put out. So, but I also get what you're saying, Lloyd. It's tough to comment on something that's not tangible. If it's too abstract, it makes it very, very difficult. So,
yeah,
I think we'll be trying to balance those. But Clark,
I have two comments I'd like to add to that. And the first one would be, I think, if there's a comment you'd like to start with a review, I would say start with what has been addressed in the past. How the PUD has viewed it. And to the extent you have comments on that, provide that. We're trying to be very, very open about this. We're trying not to prejudge anything. And so I understand where it's easier to respond, but we are trying to hear what people have to say first with this. And having said that, I think there's something out there to which somebody can respond. Does that make any sense? Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Coincident peak, CP. There's a question of what does CP mean? It means coincident peak. And you didn't do it, need to expand it. Okay,
I have no idea what
you're talking about. Okay, great. That's looking at the peak load for each customer is their peak, how much they use at their maximum point. There is a question of whether that is coincident, happens at the same time as the system peak does for grant PUD. That's a coincident peak. The question is, when we're doing allocations, pricing, do we want to look at the individual peak for each customer and sum them up? That would be non-coincidental. Or do we simply look at the peak period that's occurring for grant PUD and see what everybody's load is at that point? That would be coincident.
And 1 versus 12?
Right.
1 month.
And 1 month versus 12 is, do you look at each month and average it, or do you simply look at the system peak itself, the day that it happens, and use that as a method or allocation for the entire year?
And in this context, when we are saying peak, are we talking about transmission system usage peak or grants retail peak loads? Because there may not be a big difference today, given that the transmission system is mainly used to serve grant zone loads. But in the future, if, for instance, these new solar plants are built, there could be a difference. So,
plants are these? No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah.
Rodney has an answer.
So I think, 2 years ago, Rod provided some information on this topic. And if I recall, I think the information was around grants and use loads.
Yeah, and that's a really good question, because you're asking a piece that we actually haven't fully addressed.
Okay.
And that's how we take a load, especially a gen, if there's a large gen. Now, when it comes to load, it would be the BA load.
Mm-hmm.
So the BA load itself is not affected by the internal gen. That will change.
Right.
But the reason it's important to say BA load and not our retail load, because our loads in Grand Coulee, Coulee 1, Coulee 2, are not part of our BA load. Our loads at Wilson Creek and Coulee City are not part of our transmission system level load, but they're a part of our distribution load. So in those cases, we would need to look at the loads on our substations. And so this is a really good thing to comment on, because most of the load, it's really clear, it's in our BA. And if we're only talking transmission, you only got to look in the BA. But then when we start talking distribution and lower level voltage, we got to look at those substations also. And then we also need to incorporate the load on our substations using our systems, you have the gen using our system also. So that's a very good differentiation, and I'm going to write that down now, and I would encourage you to put that in your comments. Thank you, Lloyd.
Did it help on the CP?
I think it did, but it brings up what that gentleman was saying. If I knew what you're judging these allocations today, then it would be easier for me to make comments of do I want to change that or not. Not maybe what you're proposing, but if I just knew, because I don't know your past, I don't know what it was, and I have no idea what some of these topics would really include and not include.
And kind of a clarifying follow-up to that is, assuming that, at least for this rate process, that the coincident peak will use some type of grants, you know, BA load. In general, I know right now you're pretty close to being dual peaking, you know, winter peak, summer peak. Number one, is that correct? And then two, as we're moving forward in time, are you expecting maybe to become more stronger summer peaking than winter than summer? And I'm just remembering back, Rod, to some of the load forecasts I think you provided to us a couple years ago, just kind of looking for maybe an update of some of those longer-term trends on load growth.
Rich, you might be as involved as anyone on this.
Okay.
Clark's ultimately going to be the expert on this, but it's...
So we are somewhat of a dual peaking system. We usually hit our high peaks in the summer. It's a little bit hard to tell because we've been growing a little bit. So we keep hitting system peaks mostly year from year. We would expect that we would continue to keep doing that dual peaking, just from the mostly just because of the types of load that we've been seeing coming into the county, which are very high load factor, which means they are pretty much flat. So we would continue to see that residential peak in the winter and mostly irrigation with some residential air conditioning load in the summertime. So does that help at all?
Yeah, it does.
But we would still have kind of that dual peaking look, winter, summer. So.
Could Rod or Rich, could you give maybe some brief just today on the CP, what we are historically, just to kind of need to answer the question here, you know, have we approached the 1 CP versus 12 CP historically?
Yes, we have. And Jeremy, who's not here today, would be the best person to explain, but my understanding is we have used 12 CP consistently in our retail rate making process, and that's what we have used in the transmission rate that we have right now. Used a 12 CP look, and that's what we've done in retail. And so, of course, at 12 CP, you look at the load matters each month, that occurs each month matters. But if you use 1 CP, it only matters what happened on your peak one peak of the year. So if you peak in summer, and you're using 1 CP, the distribution of the system during that 1 hour or period is what matters, and that's not what we've used in the past.
Does that affect the next 12 months?
Well, what we're talking about now is a study. So if we do a study, at some point the study and the rates, Clark, do you want to take over at this point? Because I'm kind of, I was here in the past, so I know what Jeremy did, but you're the one going forward. So
you're doing good. It's real. It's
okay.
No, that is correct. I mean, I'm not going to go back to what he said already. But yeah, application to rates becomes another issue. And so part of what we're trying to do is get a good study first, roll that out for people to take a look at as a rate proposal on cost recovery.
So we wouldn't change the rates every time we peak. You know, as a, for instance, one jurisdictional to the east of us, Avista, had the same rates for over 16 years. Now those rates were developed from a study, and in that study they had choices for all of these things. But then once those rates were made, you know, whether they used 1 or 12, I don't know. But they used something like that, and then they posted the rates. But the rates don't keep changing, but during your study period is when this decision is made.
Right.
Now, coincidental, non-coincidental, that also has to do, that can be both things in the study and in the rates. For instance, when we send a bill to a load, of course, this is more of an NT versus PTP, but you can choose to bill someone in a month
at their individual peak that occurred in the month, or you say, when did the system peak? And then you look at how much their load was during the system peak. For instance, this is how we pay Bonneville at our loads in Grand Coulee. We pay them based on our peak, that our load that is happening during the entire Bonneville peak. So that is a use of the coincidental versus non-coincidental map.
All right, is there any other questions on any of these other topics that maybe you could...
It just continues to...
I had a question on the phone.
Yes, comment on the phone.
This is Chris from Bonneville. I was just wondering, so I haven't read the cost allocation, but so does GDS, have they not weighed in on what their recommended rate proposal is? Because some of the, you know, questions you're asking, like the 1 CP versus 12 and the coincidental versus non-coincidental, or I mean, I wouldn't really want to have to spend a lot of time discussing the merits of one or the other if you already have a kind of path, and the path is what we agree on already, and that way we can just focus on some of the other aspects.
I don't believe they have. Clark, do you?
No, they have not yet.
Yeah, they have not yet.
So, I mean, I know generally, like, kind of with most of the first jurisdictional utilities, obviously, states you're not. I mean, the 12 CP is a pretty standard approach to transmission rate making. And so, to reiterate what everybody else said, it's kind of hard to argue one way or the other if you have it, if you don't see the rate proposal in front of you, so you're not necessarily sure what the impact would be with one method versus the other. That's like your cost allocation, your rate allocation was going to show both proposals, or you're going to base just one aspect of the design on the comments received.
I think that's what we were looking for, is some comments received. If there's strong opinion on a 1 versus a 12 CP, we could take those comments into consideration. I know GDS would take those comments into consideration. And then once we have our June 19th target date of our transmission rate proposal, those would be in there based on comments we received, and then also GDS's expertise in that subject matter and Clark's expertise and things like that. So
I'd like to add one thing there, and that was that what we're trying to do is keep two issues apart, which was just merged there. When the comment was made, it's tough to comment without seeing what the rate is. That's outcome driven. We're trying not to be outcome driven at this point. We're trying to look at costs at the moment and cost causation. Rate design becomes another issue, part of it later, but we're not trying to design a rate and say, do you agree or not agree with the rate? We're trying to say, do you agree or not agree with the cost causation first?
Okay, so we're just, so you're just referring to the May 15th through the June 5th time frame right now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Clark.
Excuse me, I've got one more question on the small voltage loads, because this was a topic that came up, I think, 2 years ago. If I recall, the PUD was, I think, just starting to install new metering equipment for a lot of its end-use loads, including having demand meters, I think pretty much all the way down the load chain. Has that happened, or will it happen? For instance, here I noticed, basic format of low voltage loads. You have demand, demand energy and fixed. But I think 2 years ago we didn't have a demand component available, just because you didn't have the ability at the time to actually meter that. Is that now something that is an option for discussion for small loads to have a demand component?
I think essentially yes.
Okay.
I mean, each time we get it updated, it's close, but not completely 100%. But we are close. To have been almost completely changed out with that ability.
Oh.
Now, we're a little ways away from getting all of the data we need yet, so it's being stored. So our ability to use that technology is still rapidly evolving, but the technology to develop that should be better.
Okay, thank you.
Um, you want to go through these?
I'll jump back. Thank you for asking this. Given that we've gotten to each one, kind of jumped over the urban and rural differentiation. Maybe there aren't any questions about it, but I will clarify that privately inside discussions, there's been a lot of discussion about distance and should there be some pricing mechanism for distance. And that's what that urban and rural is trying to pick up, that idea, is there a distance component that we should be looking at? So it doesn't need to be, as soon as we say urban and rural, we're going to get into a discussion of, is it urban or is it rural? I think it's fair to address it either way, define it, or simply discuss it as distance.
And would that be distance from a receipt point of power to a delivery point of power?
Yeah, and that's those are all the questions.
Okay.
One of our colleagues said it's easy to define. He said if the dog can run after you, it's rural. If the dog's behind a fence, it's urban. So that was his definition.
Okay. Okay. Because I think that is a topic that did come up 2 years ago, essentially distance. But as you said, how to define distance or measure it for weight purposes is tougher. But I'm glad that you are willing to look at some input on that.
Sure.
So we've covered the first three or four of these, actually. So we talk about overheads. Those are just costs that are allocated to the transmission rate or to other parts of the rates. Things like, our administrative costs, things like that. How do you allocate those types of costs to different types of rates? The ancillary, including the losses, would be ancillary services such as kind of a load following service, or similar if it's a scheduling. Following service, so if a solar developer comes into Grant County, there's a possibility that we would need to make sure we firm up their schedules. If cloud goes behind, cloud goes in front of the sun. The losses are just how do you account for different types of line losses on different types of voltages. So those are things that we're going to look at. If anybody has any questions on those, or any strong feelings on those, we'd love to hear about those.
Okay. Back to the
overhead.
Rural versus urban, just for a second.
Okay.
I just want to check my perception. I had thought one component of rural versus urban was also cost, sort of cost allocation, where I think in terms of billing units, a lot of the costs traditionally were summed up without differentiating between rural and urban, and then divided by billing units. There are other techniques you could use to do that would more closely look at specific,
areas
or customer classes, and look at what are the assets used to serve the customers in a given area, and allocate the cost to those customers. In this case, it could be rural. What are the assets used to serve the more dense area? Do that. We haven't done that in the past. It would be, as I understand, a pretty meaningful change to switch to that, but I think that was part of the discussion internally, so I just wanted to get that out. I don't know, Rod, is that...
Yeah, I think so, and this is actually a much bigger issue for these smaller loads that Lloyd brings up.
Yeah.
It's not really an issue, I don't believe, that would affect the transmission rate calculation on the 115-230, but when you get down to distribution level, we have a lot more distribution per energy delivered in the rural area. And then when you look at the loads that you're talking about, Lloyd, those smaller loads, definitely we just have a lot more system in place to deliver a kilowatt hour of power to the rural area. Now, our current retail rates don't reflect that. You pay the same whether you're out in the middle of nowhere or in an apartment with 100 units and served at one place. We have the same rate. So that would be an issue. So again, on the pure transmission, I don't see that an issue for 115, 230, but definitely it becomes more of an issue when you get down there. And again, at least for now, the loads you're talking about are the only ones that are going to get a wheeling rate at that level. Everyone else would be retail. But because we're talking about it here, this is probably the cross between retail versus this is what we do in here. And I can't speak to the retail part at all. Just know that which loads are more affected than others.
That's all I have to say.
So does anybody have any other cost allocation topics that they'd like to bring up for consideration now, or obviously put those in writing and submit them? But if anybody has any now, we can get those down. Rod can get those down. All right. Well, again, I'd like to thank you, everyone, for coming and those on the phone. As Andrew had said, this is an open process. We'd like to get as much comments and as much feedback as possible. We know it's a pretty tight schedule, but we think we've got enough leeway in here so that we can at least incorporate those comments. I'd like to kind of just briefly go over a couple of the key dates. May 15th is the deadline for comments, our first round of comments back. Anything within this meeting or anything else that you have for our transmission rate proposal, we will post those comments by June 5th. We'll respond to those on our website, and that website is at the bottom of the timeline that Andrew passed out. You can also go to our website and find it. I believe if you would link, you could look at the commission meetings, and then there's the transmission rate meeting there. The June 19th date is our target date for having our transmission rate proposal. Once we set that out on the website, we'll take comments through July 10th. It sounds like we'll probably regroup here as a company and most likely have a meeting pretty close to that date, probably right after that date, so that we can go over that transmission rate proposal so that everybody has a chance to hear about that, and then still comment also. And as Andrew said, we have a target date of July 24th to get this into the commission packet so that we can get it reviewed by the commission. Again, you'll have an opportunity at that time also. September 10th is the date that we have a commission review process, and public is welcome at that process. They can also comment at that time. And then September 24th would be our final first opportunity for action by the commission on this rate, which also would have public comment. So if anybody has any questions on that or anything else, I don't want to keep anybody that we don't need to.
I'd just add one comment, and sort of in light of what you had commented on, Lloyd. So, you know, we sometimes receive comments that say, you know, didn't have an opportunity to be part of this process. You know, there was a cake that was already baked that got brought to us. Right. So this is, this is everyone's opportunity to influence the ingredients. And if, you know, absent hearing input from folks, you know, we'll consider everything, not saying we're going to adopt everything in here, but absent hearing input, we're going to, you know, staff's going to make decisions and judgments on this and put it out. And at that point, you know, it's not fully baked, but there's a lot of batter mixed in at that point. So that's why, and I absolutely get what you're saying. You get this piece where it's tough to really spend a lot of time and comment when you have really no idea how the final, you know, or you probably have, you may have some sense, but you may not know exactly how it's going to look. So it is iterative, but again, this is the chance to weigh in before we come up with a quasi, with a doughy product, maybe.
Oh, yeah. My only request, Dave, is there's no kale in there.
I think, a little spinning.
Yeah, on behalf of, you know, working with the districts, that we appreciate that, because I think 2 years ago we felt there was a mismatch in the timing, and that was one of the key things that we wanted to be able to address this time around, that there'd be opportunity to provide meaningful and timely input. And I think the Bureau as well, last time around, kind of felt that too. So we appreciate that there's kind of an open slate for us to jointly fill in.
Yeah, absolutely. And anytime you have input, you know, don't wait. You don't have to wait for the meeting, of course. Right. If you're going through this and have input, you know, we've got a variety of mechanisms to do that. So, thanks, Lloyd.
Are there any comments on the phone? Give those a chance to unmute themselves.
Hey, Rich. I do want to point out, so on September 24th, the commission meeting is at our hydro office building, which is down by one of them dam. So I do want to point that out. So, you know, on a couple times a year, the commission meets down there. It just so happens to fall on that day. So I want to spell out that acronym. So that's our hydro office building, and that's down near our Wanapum.
It's right next to the Wanapum project down there. Thanks, Matt. Good point.
Sure. And we have been known to postpone that when it has been at the hub, just for that very reason, that folks get confused and some will find themselves in Freda instead of down at Wanapum. And so there's the possibility that could change, and that's kind of commission directed.
All right. Again, thank you guys for showing up and being on the phone. Sorry about the technical difficulties we had earlier on the phone. Once we do get a target date for that meeting after the June 19th initial proposal, we'll get that out to everybody. That'll be out on the website, so we'll internally huddle up and get a date for you out on that. So thanks again for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.